This is a paid message from GoFundMe. Meet Juan Naula. When his son was hospitalized for a viral infection, Juan started a GoFundMe to pay for medical expenses.
It was $5,000 to pay the bill for my son, and I needed only 22 hours. It was amazing. People really trust on GoFundMe.
How did Juan raise $5,000 in less than a day? He posted a short video on GoFundMe, telling his story in 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Be specific, be quick, and tell what are you going to be using the funds for. I was nervous to do it because it doesn't feel okay to ask money, but you shouldn't be nervous. Sometimes you just have to do it and see the results. We were able to save my son's life. Thanks to GoFundMe that we still have my son with us.
Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This message reflects one person's experience.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Ask the GP 087 1400 106, the WhatsApp number, if you have a question for Dr. Brian King, who's a GP in Drumcondra. Brian, you're very welcome to the programme. Thanks for joining us. We were chatting actually to Dr. Clodagh Campbell, the wellness psychologist, a little earlier today. And, you know, she was here to share her experience with postpartum depression. A lot of listeners getting in touch actually, Brian, about that. Just from a GP's perspective, what's your advice to people that maybe, you know, Clodagh's story resonates with them? They've identified some of the signs and symptoms she talks about. What should people do?
From a GP perspective, we often pick it up, I suppose, antenatally. While somebody is coming into us for their antenatal checkups, he might just touch base and say, how's it going? And they may have existing depression or existing perhaps low mood at times. But quite often where we detect it is either at the 2-week check with the baby or the 6-week check with the mom and the baby. Mm. And it's one of the questions that we frequently ask is, how are things going? And you know, some people just say, I'm a bit overwhelmed, but I'm doing okay and I have good supports. Some people might put it down to the what they used to call the traditional baby blues, just as the hormones regulate themselves afterwards. But, you know, sometimes people just come straight out and say to you, I'm just not feeling well.
I'm struggling.
And it's really important for these people to know that we as GPs are always ready to, number one, ask the question, but number two, listen to them and listen to their answers to that. Depending where you are in the country, I mean, where I work in North Dublin, we're extremely blessed that we have the Rotunda and they have a fantastic mental health service for up to 1 year post delivery, working with people with postpartum depression. I suppose the first thing is to obviously do a thorough history from a GP point of view. Is there a previous history of depression or anxiety or low mood? And just what are the manifestations? So is it tearfulness? Is it overwhelmingness? Is there some actual dark thoughts there as well about self-harm and so on? So sometimes you stratify it from there. You know, that is it a case of we need to get maybe the local health nurse involved and perhaps link the mom, the new mom, with other new moms? And there can be quite great help from even just in local areas, like local breastfeeding groups and local groups, or linking with local mental health services. Sometimes in between, we can definitely prescribe sometimes antidepressants and that are safe if you are breastfeeding, of course, as well, which is something we always factor in. We're not just treating one but two patients.
So if people want to listen back to Clodagh's story, the podcast is up. It's on the Go Loud app. You can simply subscribe there to Lunchtime Live. 087 1400 106 though, that's the WhatsApp number for your questions for Brian King today. This listener has a 7-year-old son, Brian, who has one bloodshot eye. Said he didn't get anything in it. I'm wondering, is it normal or what would you advise?
I suppose the first question as the GP you'd always ask is it sore or not sore? Because I suppose that is a big differential. If it's sore, it could be a foreign body in the eye, a bit of grit, or indeed just even a scratch on the cornea. And that sometimes that can be easily treated with just simple antibiotic drops or perhaps even just lubricant drops if there's no sign of any infection. Or is there an associated runny nose or snotty? Quite often if the nose is congested, the eyes can become kind of bloodshot as well. So it could be a viral illness. So of course, he might say he didn't get anything in it, but sometimes 7-year-olds bang into things, footballs hit them in the face. Is it truly a bloodshot eye in the sense of a conjunctivitis infection, or is it a traumatic one? 7-year-old boys can quite often bang into things or keep playing.
Something or that. Listener says, what can I do for athlete's foot? It's driving me insane, particularly at night time.
Yeah, athlete's foot is basically a fungal infection.
How do you get it?
So we all have natural fungus that lives in our skin, but fungus loves moist, damp, warm areas. So quite often you'll get it in shoes, in your feet. So because you're in shoes all the time, you get it. Classically, guys can get what's called jock itch, where it transfers from their feet to their groin area or under their arms. If you're drying with the same towel, you dry your feet and then you dry other parts of your body, you can transfer it. Women can get it under their breasts, or you can get it anywhere within where skin meets skin, basically. The first thing is they haven't said what they've tried for it. I mean, quite often you can get over-the-counter dusting powder, which is antifungal in nature. Sometimes it needs to be escalated up to cream, and sometimes in severe athlete's foot we actually have to prescribe oral medication for a couple of weeks. But simple things like what's the footwear like? Do we need to treat the footwear as well? Because if it's classically...
Would you have to put the powder into your shoes?
Classically, I do see teenage boys especially seem to love wearing the same runners with poor ventilation. They get hot, they get sweaty, and from a hygiene point of view that can actually contaminate the shoe itself. So it can be sometimes a case of treating the shoe as well as the foot itself.
So over the counter.
So the first thing, first thing is talk to your local pharmacist. They may be able to give you a local medication. It gets worse at night with the heat under the covers as well, so that's why it's going to itch. But definitely talk to your pharmacist as a first step.
Listener says they're suffering with aches and pains for the past week. I don't say their age or gender. No cough, cold symptoms, can't seem to shift the achy feeling. Wondering what could it be, and is it possibly burnout?
You've alluded there. I suppose the first thing, we don't know if it's male or female, or indeed what age they are. People get burnt out, they get worn out, they get tired, and you do get aches and pains from the stresses of that. But it's quite a vague a vague question, in the sense that I'd like to know a little bit more information about them. What age are they? What gender are they? Are there swelling of the joints? In what way are they having aches and pains? Is it certain distributions in the body? So, for example, across the shoulders? Is it in the thighs? Or is it in the fingers and toes? So I think a little bit more information would probably be needed here. If it's persisting, you may need to talk to your GP.
Listener has a one-year-old who's very hoarse and has a cough as well. I'm wondering, what can I do to help her, or what should I be looking out for?
Again, I'd love to know the timeline on this. Is it something acute over the weekend, or is it something that's been going on for a couple of weeks? Sometimes we do see in children when they get a viral illness, snotty nose, or
started
slight cough.
Started Thursday.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, so it's acute, and you would wonder if it is a viral, simple viral illness. Things we would worry about: some kids who become hoarse can progress to croup, which is classically presents in the middle of the night. You'll hear this classic noise, and if you hear croup once, you'll never forget it. So I suppose it's watching out during the night. Are they having or even during the day, any respiratory distress? Are they breathing a bit harder, a bit faster? Is it becoming more difficult for them to breathe? But most kids with hoarseness and a cough, it generally is viral. It sometimes is nasal drip, and it's as simple as using, say, nasal saline drops or nasal rinses to clear out the nose 2 to 3 times a day. Good luck with a one-year-old. I have an 18-month-old, and I can tell you trying to get any nasal drops or nasal rinses into a child can be difficult at the best of times.
Do they need to go to the GP?
I would say if it started Thursday, let's just see how it goes over the weekend with simple things like nasal drops or nasal rinses. But if at any stage they felt that the hoarseness and the cough were changing, if it was becoming more difficult, a harder, harsher cough, and their breathing becomes a little bit harder or a bit more difficult, then they probably do need to be seen by somebody.
Listener says, I'm 66, male. I'm wondering what could cause thrush in my esophagus.
Yeah, so thrush in the esophagus is basically thrush as we can get in any part of the body, really, but it in the esophagus being the food pipe. Two things would make me think here in a 66-year-old male with thrush is, number one, they didn't say are they on steroid inhalers. That is the most common, one of the most common reasons we see for thrush in the mouth and down the throat, is people, when they're using their powder inhalers or steroid inhalers, that quite often they don't rinse their mouth afterwards. So you get thrush on your tongue, which extends back down towards your food pipe. The other person or people you can see this in is people where their immune system might be down a little bit. So if it is persisting and recurring, it may be worth talking at 66 years of age to your GP and maybe just getting a routine set of bloods done. Sometimes it can be a sign of immunocompromise, so that your immune system is down slightly, and it may be worth further investigation here.
Okay, so make that appointment then.
Well, if it's not improving, it probably is at 66 years of age. I think maybe have a chat with your GP about this. As I said, it may be down to, if you are on steroid inhalers or powder inhalers, you just need to rinse your mouth a little bit better afterwards. But if not, I think probably warrants a chat to your GP.
Plenty more questions we just didn't get to today, Brian. We will get to those next Monday afternoon, though. For the moment, Dr. Brian King, GP in Drumcondra. Brian, thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.